Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, welcome back to part two of Private Parts. Still here with Mickey and Conrad. I want to find out something as well, guys, because for me, I experience quite a lot of imposter
hate.
Syndrome. Yeah, not hate, never experienced that. A lot of love, if anything. So much love. But
do you still experience a lot of hate, Jamie, on Twitter and stuff? Instagram?
No, during Strictly, I didn't experience hate at all. But I think that when you're, I wasn't the best dancer, but I knocked out JJ, who was a Marine and got blown up while fighting for his country. And then I knocked out Clara, who was the Radio 1 DJ. And then I knocked out Ranveer as well. And so they just thought, you know, oh, typical posh male, just, you know, oh. I was like, I'm not forcing people to do this. I don't know what you want from me. So that was fine. But I have experienced imposter syndrome before. And Conrad and Mickey, did you guys, because, you know, you did this, you've got the show commissioned by HBO Industry. You're then working with these incredible directors, actors, and you have to turn up and young guys kind of go, right, this is our show, let's go. Did you feel any imposter syndrome at all, anything like that? Or no, you didn't. Okay,
no,
good.
No,
not really. Not at all, actually.
I think if going back to the sort of team thing, like if we had been by ourselves, I think we would have felt a lot more. But you were always able to like sort of talk it through and sort of rationalize everything and be like, what the fuck? It's mental, like we shouldn't be here to each other.
Also, you went to Oxford.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you get your own TV show. Yeah.
No. You should be. That should be part of the package.
Yes.
The truth is, the way you feel imposter syndrome, I think, like, there were many moments where it was like, what the hell are we doing here? Which is slightly different to imposter syndrome in the sense, I think me and Mickey, it goes back to what Mickey said, which is the fact that there were two of us together and the fact that, like, yeah, on that set, on some level, it doesn't matter about your level of experience because the thing that we had the knowledge, we had the best knowledge of what we were shooting. We had a level of expertise having spent 4 years writing the stuff that nobody else had, obviously. Yeah. So it was a kind of thing of like, well, this is our vision. And we actually think we could have done a better job of this in season one. Is you have to kind of, obviously when you write something, it lives in your head. It lives in me and Mickey's head. And like, your job as like a producer is to actually explain that over and over again to people, to the actors, to the camera crew, to the directors. And I actually think we could have done a better job of that in season one because the disconnect between
you don't know what you're talking about. You don't
exactly
understand it.
No, it wasn't that. It was just kind of like trying to make sure that people, you need to show people what's in your head basically at all times. And I felt like me and Mickey, you know, we were kind of confident because we knew we'd spent so long with the characters and stuff. So there was a kind of level of like, okay, we sort of know what we're doing. We were wrong most of the time, obviously.
But you're one of your directors is Lena Dunham, who wrote and starred and directed. Did she direct Girls or did she? I don't know. But she wrote and starred in it. You know, that's a huge star to suddenly just being like, "Hey, this is our work.
Yeah.
I would, for me personally, I would feel incredibly nervous. I'd be like, God, are they going to like it?
I think unless, not really imposter syndrome, it's more like just sort of like the pressure to make it good.
Mm.
And like, I've spoken about this before, but like the first time we walked onto the set and like, you know, we have like a one-for-one model basically of a trading floor, which we erected in Wales. And it looks like a huge office building, and it's like this big light and there's like 100 people on the set. And like that moment I was like, fuck, okay, we have to make this really good now, because people are sort of are looking at us and
they've built a set.
People are investing in, yeah.
There's a band there. There's a catering department. Fuck, we have to make this.
We should probably write the rest of this show that we haven't written yet.
Yeah, that pressure. But then you normalize it so quickly. And like, you're just like, oh, because suddenly it's just like, this is what we have to do. And like, I think just the actual like day-to-day pressure of getting it done and like working to like long hours and doing production makes you forget about those pressures. And you just get on with it.
What was so funny, Francis, Conrad, I don't know if you know this, is that I had pleaded to Mickey to get a part in this
really
I think it's more begged. I don't, a little bit of begging going on. Then I said, give me a role in this show. If you go on this little pesky little show that you're doing, give me a role in it. And anyway, I got a message from him the other day being like, hey buddy, listen, think potentially may get you something in there as one of the trading floor people in the black background. I was like, what? I had to do, and there was a potential. I wasn't going to talk. I was just going to be in the background. I think, well, there was a potential.
An extra. That
a complete extra. And I still didn't get that.
We can make that happen if you really want it to.
Yes, obviously I want it to happen. I really want it to happen.
It's really funny. You know, in episode 3, there's a sort of running joke about Joey Essex, and I was like, we should have just used Jamie in that instead. Like,
yeah, that would have been so much better. That Made in Chelsea industry crossover as well would be very funny.
Oh God, it would have been great. But honestly, guys, you know, people have really raved about it, and the reviews have been amazing. Surely that, for, you know, whenever you do anything, right, you. And as much as people go, hey, who cares about the criticism? Who cares about this? Who cares about that? For something that you write or something that you do when it's truly yours and you've worked on it for 3 years and it's your first go at something and the reviews have been great and people love it, isn't that, you know, doesn't that really validate you as an individual and trying to go, shit, actually, we've done something really good here?
Yeah, it does. And like, I would love to say it doesn't, but it clearly does. And like,
yeah, especially
after you spent so much time on it, and like we went through such a roller coaster of emotions, thinking it was shit, and then good, and then shit. And I actually called Conrad. I mean, last Christmas, 2019, I called Conrad on Christmas Day, maybe a bit drunk, and was like, "We're fucked."
Close to tears.
I was like, "I don't want to do this." I'm embarrassed to let anyone see this. I'm just gonna go and like dig a hole, crawl into it, and die. And it came out and it was all right.
But why? Why though? Why was that feeling there?
Because yeah, you go through a process of like better cuts than others, and like it probably wasn't what it was going to be like in your head, and like you catastrophize a lot, and like you pick up on the worst bits of it, and you know, you build it up, and then you think it's going to be terrible, and also like we had absolutely no idea how people were going to respond to it, like none, and like that's just from a product of us watching, you know, every episode 100 times, just having no idea whether it was good or not. So when it came out and people responded to it and like we got some good reviews, it was a huge validation, and like it was, again, as I said at the start, it's like fucking hell, it was a lot of relief, because it just the other version of it just would have been awful. Like, yeah, even now when I look on Twitter, and I still check Twitter obsessively about people talking about it, and like there might be 10 nice things, and then there's one like, the fuck is this? This is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, you fucking cunt.
We're gonna turn up outside their house. The other truth is, it's really difficult to be. Me and Mickey have watched 150 cuts of every episode, right? We know to the millisecond what the actor's going to do with their eyebrow, how they're going to say a certain word, the fact they've not said it quite the right way, the fact that we had to cut this line of dialogue. So basically, you're seeing the depth of what it was in your head to what it ends up on screen. You put it out into the world, you've seen it so many times that you objectively, you have no idea what it's like to watch it through clean eyes. So one of the most gratifying things is, like, you know, I watched it with my sister the first episode. She didn't see any of the cuts. She didn't read any of the scripts. And I literally just watched her face while she watched it. And I was like, okay, so like the scenes that are supposed to be adrenalized are adrenalized. The scenes that are supposed to be sad are sad. Yeah. And all of that, you know, all of that stuff. that's really exciting, because like me and Mickey have no clue if it's good, really. It's impossible to really know.
But because it is, it's hectic. It starts off, you know, there's a death, and you know, there's sort of drug taking, and there's intensity, and you know, there's all the things that Mickey loves. All the things in it. But I'm kidding. But it's one of these things. It's a lot of intensity, and you would expect with something so dramatic as that you would probably get backlash from it, from perhaps the industry itself in terms of the city and things like that. And you know, because it's kind of portrayed in a negative light, right? Like, is that fair to say at the beginning? I mean, it's definitely portrayed in a negative light, because it's like this sort of
it's portrayed in a negative light, not in a negative light, but in the same way that, I mean, I wouldn't compare it to these things, but like The Wolf of Wall Street portrays that industry, right? But bankers absolutely love it. And like, I've heard from people that work in the industry, and like, it was a huge cultural phenomenon industry in the banking world. And like, people are, you know, it gives an opportunity for bankers to be like, that's me, that's based on me. Like, I know that guy. And like, I like, obviously, like, who is that based on? And like, I know that. And like, people love that stuff. And like, I don't think it glamorizes the lifestyle. I think there is a sort of inherent criticism of the world in there, but it does make it look quite fun, and it makes it look kind of sexy. And like, you know, totally. If you're trying to explain what you do and you're a banker to someone that doesn't do it, you can be like, oh, watch industry.
Watch industry. That is exactly what it's like. But actually, no, I think you're right. Maybe I'm not fair there, because also every, you know, you could paint pretty much every industry with a negative light, if you wanted to. What you're trying to create is drama and adrenaline and excitement and all these different things. And how do you do that? You know, you do that through the things that you have done, which I think, but also I think, you know, what I would find, you know, scary, it's quite hard, is I particularly would be quite weak. You know, you hand your baby over 3 years work to HBO, you start creating this thing, it starts happening, it starts rolling, big people and bosses start coming, you're getting deadlines, big actors, directors, money's being spent. You know, I would be feared that my voice would be lost, that I'd be like, oh shit, this is actually becoming mine. Very much like a business, right? You start getting investors and people within it, and then so your equity is starting to go away and it doesn't become yours by the end. But you guys seem to manage to stay hold of it. Was that HBO's doing? Was that your doing? How does it work like that?
That's a really good, it's a good point, to be honest.
Conor, you're liking my questions.
I am liking your questions. Yeah, man.
Don't worry about it, buddy. Parkinson. Don't worry. it's uncanny. That's what
they're very long, but your long preludes. Could just get to the point a little bit. He just likes the sound of his own voice.
No, it's like when they started writing industry. I don't know really where I'm going with it. I'm just sort of saying something and hoping.
It's a self-indulgent thing, his questions.
Where's this question going? I don't know. Hopefully it'll end up somewhere.
I'm just freestyle. I'm just riffing here. I'm just riffing.
I can't remember. Well, the question was...
Do you lose your voice?
HBO are like quite famous for, you know, giving power and, you know, a bit of autonomy to young people who maybe have not done it before. And for them, it was like, if the scripts are good and the scripts keep being good, then why not? Why don't allow these two guys who have never done fuck all, you know, done off the record to run a show? They were very supportive of us. It was probably, you know, they're on the other side of the Atlantic as well, which meant that there was a time difference, which means that they couldn't always be as, you know, as involved as they wanted to be. But like, they gave very good notes. They supported us. They pushed us when we needed to be. They basically improved our writing a lot, and they let us get on with it. They gave us enough rope to hang ourselves with, which we did.
I wish we did.
And you didn't.
yeah. And you're still here. No, guys, honestly, listen, I'm just concerned for time, just because I know you guys have calls and things like that.
Busy lives. Wait, I would say, Mickey, I like that painting behind you.
Thank you. Cheers.
Is that one of yours?
No. Yeah. My 6-week-old daughter did it. No, it's not. Thank you, though.
Yeah, do you know? And also, congrats to you,
Mickey. Cool.
You got your new daughter as well. So that's just insane. And you know, guys, you know, like I said, you've got, you know, Mickey Dimeshi saying that, you know, you've got calls because you're working with America, so time difference. So we don't want to keep you too long. Listen, guys, you know, to all you listeners who haven't gone and checked out, go and check out Industry. It is a fantastic watch. And also, during lockdown, it's a real good sense of escapism because you can just kind of be thrilled and entertained and get all this adrenaline within you. And there's nakedness, full blown male nakedness at the beginning, which I would have been so happy to do. It's rare. Tom Lucy, he's a comedian who loves the podcast. His friend. You rarely see full blown male nakedness in shows, but you see it in this one.
We deliver the goods.
Yeah. So where can we watch Industry? Obviously the BBC. Can we watch it on HBO?
Yeah, you can watch on HBO Max.
HBO Max. Okay.
Yeah. So if you're in the UK, don't bother about BBC. Just go stream HBO. Go and watch it there.
But we got an international listenership.
We do. That is very true. We have some people all over the place. But Francis, what's the answer to the question of the week?
Well, the question of the week was, in the age of the dinosaurs, how long did a day last? And do you remember what your answers were?
Mickey's was 300, Conrad was 72, mine was 5.
It's a broad range.
Well, Jamie, I think you're actually right by accident, because you're the closest.
Is it 5 hours in a day?
No, it's 23 hours the day was in the time of the dinosaurs.
Why is that?
I think it was because a meteor hit the Earth and sped up the Earth, or slowed it down, maybe.
I guess.
Well, you don't have the answers. What's the point of the question of the week? What's the point of the question of the week? This is supposed to be educational. What do you mean you don't know?
That is educational. You now know the time.
He said he thinks a meteor hit the Earth and it sped it up.
Wait, let me look it up.
That'll be, I really need the answer.
Well, why was the day shorter in dinosaurs?
That's not going to come up with anything.
Oh, wait, okay, yeah, I've got an answer here.
Okay, tell us.
It's thanks to the moon's gravity.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. Great. Good answer. Good way to end the podcast.
So the orbit of the moon. The gravitational pull of the moon exerts a force on the Earth that transfers angular momentum from the spin of the Earth into the Earth the orbit of the moon. We can measure the speed of the moon's retreat. Reflective panels of the moon allow.
If people haven't turned off now, they already have.
So the Earth's day is getting longer by 500th of a second every century.
Sweet. Okay. There we go. Great.
That's exactly what I needed.
Hey, guys, take that
Should
into
I go
your
on?
Meeting. Take that
yeah,
into
will.
Your meeting with HBO. This will be a good one.
You got to find some way of getting that into your next episode of Industry.
We might actually. We've peppered the whole few in jokes, so maybe we actually will get that.
Yeah.
Guys, listen, you know, as always, I'm free if you ever need an extra. And I, honestly, proud of you guys. That's just insanely cool and amazing that you guys are doing
really
what you're
cool.
doing. Really is cool. Really is so cool. And just thanks so much for giving us the time to coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on. It was an absolute blast.
Thanks, team. Hey, listen, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is very randomly, and it's either Conrad or you, Mickey, we leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Mickey, do it, man.
Oh, come on.
Go on, Mickey. Here we go.
You know what, guys? If you're in a job that you don't like, you're not very good at, and you can see your life panning out in a way that you didn't expect, quit.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Also, soon...
That's good advice.
One day soon, we'll all be back in pubs, and that is something to live for.
There we go.
Yeah.
Guys, you freaking said it, buddy. There we go. Guys, thank you so much. Listen, everybody, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
See you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.